there's going to be no actions today on the streets, except for jail support stuff, because the trade talks are over.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just didn't see a lot of point in, you know, last night we decided not to do any action on the street.
Okay.
So,
well, let me ask you this. When did you guys find out that the trade talks ended?
We found out last night.
Okay. And how did you guys find out?
At the Convergence Center.
Was there, like, a specific meeting time that everybody came, or?
Yeah, we went to a spokes council meeting,
mm-hmm.
Which was the meeting to plan the next day's activities and stuff, and it had been a prearranged meeting from, you know, before. There were probably 150 people there or so.
Okay. Can we interview you about a couple things? Because we had a couple questions
sure.
about media coverage that we saw.
Sure.
You guys mentioned yesterday that you saw a lot of correspondence from major networks videotaping and reporters. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, we saw people from a lot of the Spanish language networks, like Univision. We saw somebody from CNN was there, and then a lot of the local news networks were there as well.
Did you guys get a chance to watch any of the footage on TV or read any of the reports?
No, we've read the newspapers, but we haven't seen stuff on the news. Last night when we were at the Convergence Center at the Spokes Council meeting, during the meeting and right after the meeting, they were having a press conference there at the Convergence space, and there were a lot of press people there, and the buzz was that basically the whole ending of the talks had been spun very poorly by the media. It had been spun as if this was a success for the FTAA by the media, and also maybe the events on the street had been spun poorly by the media. But the feeling was that this press conference was turning that around, that people were getting the media to understand that, in fact, the only reason the trade talks ended was because they realized that if they had continued the talks, they would have completely fallen apart because they wouldn't have agreed on anything. So instead they agreed on a very minimalist structure to continue moving on with the process rather than actually agreeing on what they set out to agree on. So
okay.
That was the message that they tried to get out last night.
This is what we've noticed because we've been watching the networks and watching video clips online, and basically what it comes down to is there isn't anything on most of the major networks, most of the papers, like nothing on it.
Mm.
And yesterday we were getting reports that CNN ran footage that their cameraman was pepper sprayed and the police were attacking. This was on a couple of the FTA websites. Then
mm-hmm.
this footage supposedly was pulled from online and all CNN coverage was pulled. So we're
wow.
wondering if the media was censored.
Yeah, we don't know about that. I mean, one of our members was definitely interviewed by CNN, so a member of our group, Zoe, was interviewed by CNN, so we know that CNN was out there.
Now, CNN has a little bit more footage. They have they actually have a video clip on today and a video clip from yesterday. We don't believe it's the same clip they were running earlier in the day, so
mm-hmm.
we're just kind of wondering, you know, was there that much national news coverage, because we just find it odd that Post and New York Times has nothing on it.
Right. The only newspapers we've seen today are the Miami Herald, which has a ton of stories about it, obviously, and then the several Spanish language papers from Miami. All of them have it as their front page stories, but we haven't seen any other newspapers today, and we haven't watched any mainstream media, so we don't have any information on that.
If you could pick up copies of those papers and bring them back with you,
we will
for us, because we're very interested to see if the media was, in effect, censored from covering
right.
this.
Right, right.
Or see if CNN specifically was censored from covering this and who made that decision.
Right.
So that was kind of our thing, is if you happen to see any news media or they continue any more public speeches or anything like that are being covered, if you could take note of what crews are there, what reporters,
sure.
that sort of thing, because we're very interested to see why this isn't covered.
Sure.
Because reports are like 75 people at least were arrested. Maybe you guys can confirm this or not.
The count is up to 151.
And do they have charges pressed against them?
We're going to find that out right now. We're going over to this meeting where we're going to meet with the legal team, and they've been compiling data all night, so all they have is the arrest numbers. They don't have the numbers of who's been charged with what.
So the meeting you're going to today, what is it in effect for?
This meeting is the people who are interested in doing jail support, which is, you know, maybe any kind of actions to help the people that are in jail, and we don't know what kind of actions yet. We're going to decide those at this meeting, but things like, you know, vigils or media contacts, you know, doing press conferences or, you know, any kind of different thing like that, or just visiting people in jail or raising money. We don't know what we're going to do, but we're going to meet with the lawyers and figure out who's in jail, what they're charged with, where they're being held, and then as a group, this is all the spokespeople from all the affinity groups are going to figure out what sorts of actions we want to take to support the folks in jail.
But let me ask you this. Yesterday when you guys were out there, you said that a lot of the correspondents from different agencies were alongside you guys out there. Did they seem more sympathetic to the protesters or to the police at the time?
Definitely the people, the reporters that were with us were very sympathetic with us. I mean, many of them got hit by various, you know, weapons and things, and they were on the front lines of a lot of stuff. There were a lot of instances where there was maybe a 10-foot buffer between the protesters and the police, and in order to get the good shots, the press would go up into that buffer zone, and then thinking that they were immune from the police, and the police would end up attacking them just as if they were other protesters. And so we definitely saw among the regular, you know, crew of the media plenty of sympathy. What we didn't see out there was a lot of the on-camera correspondent types. You know, we didn't see the personalities that would be on TV. We saw one woman for one of the Spanish language things. Well, actually, there were a couple of people from the Spanish language programs that were actually there, you know, speaking in front of the camera live on TV or at least for tape for later news broadcasts. But mostly it was, you know, mainstream media camera people taking footage that would hopefully be used later, but not reporters. So I have, let's see, numbers about the injuries here. The police estimate of the number of people participating in the demonstrations was 8 to 10,000. At least 12 activists were treated at the hospital for minor injuries. About 125 protesters were treated at the Activist Medical Center. At least 15 had welts or head wounds caused by rubber bullets. 10 had wounds inflicted by police batons. And more than 100 had skin burns caused by pepper gas. And that's according to a medical doctor at the center.
And what center was this again?
This is the Activist Medical Center, which was set up by the street medic team that was working with the activists. It was set up in a local alternative health center, and it was staffed by doctors and emergency medical techs and volunteers.
And it was raided last night.
Yeah, and actually last night it was raided by the police. The police actually...
After people had been chased there.
Right, well, people who had been pepper sprayed and tear gassed had been chased into the medical center, and then the police actually shot pepper spray into the medical center while people were being treated for pepper spray burns.
Speaking of, did you hear any other instances of different places that were raided by the police unwarranted?
Yeah, we have various reports of various places being raided. The reports that you heard last night of the Convergence Center being raided were actually false. The police came to the Convergence Center and surrounded the Convergence Center, but they had a security plan at the Convergence Center, and they locked the Convergence Center down so that the police couldn't get in, and the police didn't attempt to get in because a ton of mainstream media was there at the Convergence Center at the invite of the activists. They brought the mainstream media there to monitor what was happening, and that provided some protection for them from the police raid.
Can you tell us about the FTAA Independent Media Center, and was that raided, or were there any effects on that? Do you know?
Do you guys know if the IMC house was raided at all last night?
You know, I talked to Sharpie last night, Sasha.
Okay. And was the CTC raided? What was raided last night?
Was the CTC raided?
CTC was apparently raided.
Okay. So apparently the Independent Media Center house...
That's third.
Okay. We don't have direct information about any other raids. We have third-hand information that maybe the CTC was raided, and that's kind of a third location. There's the Convergence Center, the IMC House, and the CTC. The CTC is another place that has computers, and it's the Citizens Trade Campaign. They have computers and media facilities, and a lot of people are doing media stuff there. And apparently it may have been raided during the afternoon, but people are still using it. It's still open.
And the people that are using it, were they all protesters, or what?
Yes.
What were they set up specifically for the talks, or were they already in the area?
Was this already set up, or was this set up for the talks, the CTC?
It was set up.
It was set up just for the talks. Pretty much everything on the ground here was set up just for the talks. There's not a big existing activist network in Miami.
Well, so. People didn't want to jeopardize
the space. Right. And now, yeah, a lot of the activists that were on the ground didn't want to jeopardize their own spaces, so they set up temporary spaces here.
Do you know if there's going to be any press releases for direct action or any other press releases today on behalf of the protesters on actual numbers or statistics on who was injured and present?
Yeah, there almost certainly will be. There's actually a whole media team that's dedicated at the Convergence Center that's dedicated to communicating with the mainstream media, putting out press releases and making calls and making sure that, you know, if they're spinning things in a false direction, that things get an appropriate amount of balanced coverage. So those folks will almost certainly be putting out some press releases. I will, when we go over to the Convergence Center tonight, I will try to put you in contact.
Okay.
Right now, I'll try to find out what their contact information is. And
that would be great. And just a couple more questions on what happened yesterday.
Sure.
How did people react, or what was their response when protesters found out that there had been an early end to the talks?
People were actually very excited by it. I mean, at first, there was a lot of confusion about why the talks had ended. At first, a lot of people had heard that the agreement was signed, and people thought that was a bad thing because they felt that it had been hurried through and everything had been signed. But then it came out, as we talked more and more about exactly what was signed, that the thing that was signed was a very, very, very watered-down version, a very ineffective version of what they had wanted to put through, and that further talks were going to be needed to get anything else in there, and that the reason they weren't doing those further talks now was because they recognized that there would be no way for those talks to succeed, that the talks were going to break. If they had a second day of talks, they would have broken down, was the sense of apparently the delegates at the meeting.
Okay. Were there any activities that took place last night after they found out that the talks had ended early? Was there any planning for today or strategizing, or is that what's going on today?
Last night is when we had the spokes council meeting to plan for today's actions. And at that spokes council meeting, decided was that today we would not take any direct actions on the streets, but what we would do was to plan for, there's a plan for today. One is the jail support actions that we're going to go to plan right now, so we don't have details about those yet, but they are going to be planned. And the other is this the really, really, really free market, which is a permitted gathering at the Miami Arena where people are going to basically do skill sharing and trading of creative trading and basically give each other as a community their whatever they have to give for free, whether it be their stories of success, their poetry and songs and their skills. So we'll be going to that this afternoon. Megan points out that while this really, really, really free market event today has a permit, the police have been changing permit, the details of permits. Yesterday, the AFL march that had been permitted previously had its route truncated and changed. So it may be that the police will attempt to change the permit for today's event as well. And then if they do that, there may be some resistance to that at the event.
I see. And one more question. what was the relationship yesterday between the AFL-CIO march and the other protesters? Because the media is kind of giving mixed signals on the relationship there.
Right. The AFL-CIO has been actually very, very... the AFL-CIO and the Direct Action Group, those are the two main groups that are here. The Direct Action Group is made up of all the affinity groups that are interested, that were involved in the events before and after the AFL march. That group, the Direct Action Group, has been having spokes council meetings all week. Spokes councils consist of representatives from each of the affinity groups that are participating. The AFL-CIO has sent representatives to all of the spokes council meetings, which operate by consensus. So the AFL-CIO's representatives have been involved in all the decision-making that we've done. Their primary concern before, during our planning, was simply that the direct action people take no actions during their permitted event, which was from 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. yesterday. And that actually, their march got truncated, so it ended at 4 p.m. And that agreement was honored by the direct action people. No direct action was taken during that time period. The first march, the early day march, began at 7 a.m. and ended at noon. And the march after that began at 4 p.m. because the AFL march got truncated. And then, it ended in the chaos, in the streets hours later when the police dispersed everybody to, various parts of town. So last night at the spokes council meeting, the representative from the AFL-CIO was at the spokes council meeting and congratulated us, and expressed their support. Actually, during the day, before anything started, a representative from AFL-CIO came and pledged their solidarity to our direct action march. And then afterwards, at the spokes council meeting, the same two representatives from the AFL-CIO came and pledged their support for what we had done and thanked us for honoring the consensus upon agreement that no direct action occurred during their event. And they pledged to stand in solidarity with us that night if the Convergence Center got raided, which it did not. But if it had been, the AFL member said that they would be arrested along with us if we had been arrested. So there was a lot of solidarity between the AFL-CIO and the Direct Action Group, though they are different groups.
Now let me ask you this: were any of the AFL-CIO members or the different unions, were any of them involved with any of the Direct Action protests earlier in the day, or were any of the Direct Action protesters then involved in the AFL-CIO?
As far as we can tell, early in the day, we didn't see a large union presence. It was unclear. It's hard to tell when there's just a group of people gathered. Not a lot of people from the unions necessarily identified themselves as being from the unions. But in the early morning march, a lot of the unions weren't even in town yet. They were coming in on buses throughout the morning. So there weren't a lot of union people in the early morning march. Later in the post, and then during the AFL march, a lot of the direct action people were in fact involved in the AFL march, because they were invited in by the AFL and a lot of people accepted that invitation. So that's what happened during the march. And then after the march, a lot of the union people who were still there, on the street as a result of their march having just ended, did join in with some of the direct action that happened, directly after the march. So we did see some participation, and we also saw a lot of union members, their militancy increased after they had been so poorly handled by the police during their permitted march. There were a lot of folks who may not have been interested in participating in direct action, because of the fact that they had their permitted march and all that. But then when the police truncated their route, when they heard that several dozen of their buses had been detained and prevented from joining the march, lots of people from around the country that were trying to come couldn't come because of that. People got much more angry and more interested in continuing to protest. And in order to continue to protest beyond the permitted march, they had to join the direct action march, which they were happy to do because they still had grievances.
Mm-hmm. So there were AFL-CIO protesters that were prevented from attending their police-approved protest?
That's our understanding, and it was published in the Miami Herald says that it has a quote from John Sweeney himself saying that, at least a dozen or maybe a few dozen of their buses were prevented from arriving. We had heard rumors last night that like 187 buses had been prevented from arriving. We currently believe those rumors to not to be exaggerated, but we know that some buses were in fact detained.
Okay. Well, is there anything else offhand that you'd like to report in with us or tell us about yesterday that may not have been reported earlier?
There's nothing else that I can think. Oh, there was one report. This is unconfirmed, but it's pretty scary. We heard a report from one of the affinity group members at the Spokes Council meeting of a van or a vehicle pulling up to a group of protesters that had been isolated from the march, and a group of men dressed in all in black, wearing black bandanas, proceeded to beat up the some of the protesters, some of these protesters that had been separated, and then put them, drag them into the car and drive off. That's unconfirmed by us. We heard this only at the Spokes Council meeting, but it was definitely a And one of the people that had been dragged off was a legal observer. And we also know separately, and this part has been confirmed by the legal team, that four members of the legal team, four legal observers, who were brightly identified with green hats, were arrested and put in jail last night.
All right. Well, yeah, just keep us updated.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.